This is Rabbi Avital Hochstein of Machon Hadar. Parashat Va'etchanan 57:77. Chapter 4 of Dvarim. Mapping a Relationship. A map is reflected in Chapter 4 of the Book of Dvarim. A complex map of the relationship between Israel and their God. This map suggests a basis, a background, and a playing field for relationships in general. It is accepted in biblical criticism to divide Deuteronomy into two speeches, one short and another long, which contains a large collection of laws. Alternatively, there are those who identify two introductions in the book, after which a comprehensive collection of laws appears. The collection of laws begins in chapter 12 with the words, "These are the laws and rules that you must carefully observe in the land." Whereas the speeches or introductions made by Moshe both begin with a reference to the Torah, perhaps in its narrow meaning as a collection of laws. Thus, at the beginning of Moshe's first speech, it says, "On the other side of the Jordan in the land of Moab, Moshe undertook to expound this Torah." And similarly, in the second speech, "This is the Torah, the teaching that Moshe set before the Israelites." According to these perceptions, chapter 4 of Deuteronomy forms the seam between Moshe's two speeches, or between the two introductions to the large collection of laws it contains. This chapter also appears to contain a short set of verses whose topic is the cities of refuge allocated on the far side of the river. However, one can also view chapter 4 in another light, as an independent unit with an independent thought process and statement. According to this view, the chapter presents the characteristics of the unique bond between the people of Israel and their God. These characteristics are place, behavior, and exclusivity. An additional emphasis is placed on the role of history in a double manner. Firstly, history is emphasized as the basis on which the relationship between Israel and God is predicated, mutually. And secondly, it is presented as the force that maintains this relationship during times of crisis. The chapter raises another claim, according to which the nature of relationships is that they traverse a wide spectrum and not just the space between one extreme and another. At the two extremes of this range are, on the one hand, relationship, and on the other hand, rupture. But it includes both mistakes and the possibility of making amends, tshuva. The chapter serves as a model, not only for the relationship between Israel and its God, but for relationships in general. As mentioned above, chapter 4 in Dvarim deals with the relationship between the people of Israel and their God, and presents the principles that render it unique. These principles include exclusivity, a special place, and behavior that takes into consideration the desires and requests of each of the partners in the relationship. The chapter opens with a declaration made by Moshe regarding the importance of observing God's laws, and as a complete and closed system, a system to which one must not add and not detract. And the verses say, "Give heed to the laws and rules. You shall not add anything to what I command you or take anything away from it, but keep the commandments of Hashem your God." At the same time, Moshe clarifies that there is a causal relationship between observance of God's laws and entering into and existing in the land of Israel. And now, O Israel, give heed to the laws and rules that I am instructing you to observe, so that you may live to enter and occupy the land. Entering the land and residing in it are a result of a punctilious observance of God's commandments. But observance of God's commandments are not the be-all and end-all of the relationship with God. Moshe continues to clarify the importance of fidelity to God. While you, who hold fast to Hashem, your God, are all alive today. Cleaving to God and fidelity to the relationship with Him are keys to life. The commandments and the laws, the land, and the exclusive relationship between the people of Israel and God form a triple basis for the relationship between God and Israel. But as mentioned above, an additional aspect touched on by chapter 4 is the role of the past in grounding a relationship. According to the chapter, the foundational events which formed the basis for the relationship between the people of Israel and God are the covenant at Mount Sinai and the covenant made by God with the Hebrew patriarchs. However, these events function in almost opposite ways. The covenant made with the patriarchs serves as a reminder for God of the relationship, whereas the covenant of Sinai is directed to the people of Israel. The covenant of Sinai serves as a reminder to the people of Israel whose role it is to anchor and fortify the observance of the commandments. But take utmost care and watch yourself scrupulously, so that you do not forget the things that you saw with your own eyes, the day you stood before Hashem, your God, at Horeb. If the covenant at Sinai is mentioned in the chapter as a historic event whose role is to remind the people of Israel of the importance of their relationship with God, the mention of the patriarchal covenant is brought as a reminder to God, whose love for the patriarch serves as a reason and a fortification for maintaining his relationship with the people of Israel. And because he loved your fathers, he chose their heirs after them. In this way, past becomes covenant, and in this case, two historical covenants that serve as a reminder of the relationship between God and Israel, and create an experience of this relationship that is more mutual, in which both sides are moved time and again towards each other. At this stage in the chapter, there appears a seeming interruption to the flow of Moshe's words. Moshe appears to deviate from the topic of Israel and speaks instead of himself and of his private sorrow. Now God was angry with me on your account and swore that I would not cross the Jordan and enter the good land. The deviation, however, is only an apparent one, as there is a close link between Moshe's punishment and the things he has said thus far in the chapter. The force of Moshe's punishment becomes evident specifically through the manner in which the uniqueness of the relationship between Israel and God is presented. Moshe's punishment is, in fact, a fracture in the relationship between himself and God. His personal punishment functions as a mirror image for the relationship that was described between God and his people. Furthermore, Moshe's punishment functions as a testimony to the intensity of God's anger and its ramifications. Take care, then, not to forget the covenant that Hashem your God concluded with you. For Hashem your God is a consuming fire, an impassioned God. As in Moshe's personal case, in the case of the nation too, the punishment for a betrayal of the relationship with God is damage to the relationship. And the forbidding of continued existence in the land. Should you act wickedly and make for yourselves a sculptured image of any likeness, causing Hashem your God displeasure and vexation, I call heaven and earth this day to witness against you that you shall soon perish from the land. However, through the description of God's reaction to betrayal and the depth of the damage to the relationship that is the result of a crisis in the relationship between God and man, a new concept arises, the idea of repentance, tshuva. But if you search there for Hashem your God, you will find him. Return, v'shavta, to Hashem your God, and obey him. Out of the sin and the disconnect between God and people, people turn to seek, demand the presence of God, and find him. This is repentance, tshuva, and it is made possible thanks to the strength of the relationship between God and his people, a relationship which, as mentioned above, is predicated on God's covenant with the patriarchs. He will not forget the covenant which he made, an oath with your fathers. The covenant between God and the patriarchs, if so, is the basis for the exodus from Egypt, the revelation at Sinai, and the entrance into the land of Israel. It is the basis for the uniqueness of the relationship between God and Israel, and here it is revealed also as the key to repentance, tshuva. It is further evident that repentance, tshuva, is made possible when there are two active partners in it. In our case, God must remember the covenant he made with the patriarchs, which arouses in him a desire to accept those who repent, and the people of Israel, on their part, must acknowledge God's power. Know, therefore, this day, and keep in mind that Hashem alone is God. At this point, there seems to come a turning point in the chapter, and the story of the separation of three cities of refuge to the east of the Jordan River is told. Then Moshe set aside three cities on the east side of the Jordan. As in the case of the mention of Moshe's sin, the mention of the cities of refuge is also tightly linked to the central topic of the chapter. Firstly, the decision to set aside cities of refuge to the east of the Jordan, in addition to those already allocated in its west, indicates a complete acceptance of the request made by the 2.5 tribes to remain on the eastern bank of the river and not enter the land. While God is the one who gives laws and commandments, men also have desires and requests, and God responds to these as well. The cities of refuge to the east of the Jordan signal mutuality in this respect as well. Secondly, the cities of refuge also teach us of the boundaries of divine anger and indicate God's ability to tolerate mistakes and errors. Within the dichotomous system of observing or not observing the commandments, residing in the land or being exiled from it, there is space in the relationship with God also for mistakes. The chapter ends with the words, "This is the Torah that Moshe set forth before the Israelites." This is then the Torah, the exclusivity of the relationship with God, which includes a past, a particular place, and particular behaviors, an understanding of the ramifications of betrayal, the possibility of repentance, tshuva, and the ability to hold those who sin and make mistakes. And perhaps these can also serve as anchors for our relationships with our fellow humans. Shabbat Shalom.